An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church, joined with Pastor Mike Brown of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And today on this Friday session of Abounding Grace, we're continuing our study of the 5 points of Calvinism called TULIP, Total Depravity, Unconditional Election, Limited Atonement, Irresistible Grace, and Perseverance of the Saints. Now, Mike, we have tackled the really important doctrines of total depravity. When we talk about total depravity, what we're saying about man is that he is dead in trespasses and sins, and that sin extends to every part of who he is. We've looked at unconditional election. God's sovereign choice from the foundation of the world to save a people unto himself, and how comforting that doctrine is. And if you haven't listened to those programs, we encourage you to go to the website at agradio.org and download those programs and listen to them. Today, Mike, we are tackling the big one, as people understand it, limited atonement. And maybe we could start today. You can kind of give us a little bit of breakdown of what we mean when we're saying that the atonement is limited. Because I suspect some people are hearing that and saying, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Are you saying that Jesus did not die for everyone? What does that mean? Explain that to me.
Right. Well, first of all, I think we should point out that every Christian, whether you are Calvinist or Arminian or whatever your persuasion is, every Christian believes in a limited atonement of some sort. Usually, you believe in his atonement being limited in its effect, or it's limited in its scope. In other words, it's limited in its effect, its power of what it actually does and what it actually did when he said it is finished, or you believe that it's limited in its scope as to how many people it reached. When we, as Reformed people, those who confess the canons of Dort, those who stand with the Protestant Reformation and its confessions, when we talk about limited atonement, which, first of all, we should say is not a term that we particularly like. We would prefer something like particular atonement or definite redemption. What we mean there is that what Christ did upon the cross was effectual for the elect. His blood is sufficient to pay for all the world, but it's only effective for the elect. It's only effective for those who believe, and it's limited in its scope and in that sense.
Right, and I think, you know, we can contrast this with I always like to ask, Mike, what are the consequences of the views we hold? And sometimes Christians don't think through that. But if you take the atonement today, we're talking about the death of Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross. How is that viewed today? Well, what it basically is viewed as a giant bank. And the blood is all deposited into the bank. It's all there, covers everyone. But I need to now go draw that out to make it effectual for me. That's kind of the general view today, that the great deposit has been made by God. Everyone's covered, but you got to make it effectual for you by going and getting it. What we're concerned about, and I'll just state this up front, what we're concerned about is this, is that if Jesus actually paid the penalty, and Jesus actually covered everyone's sins, and Jesus became the curse and freed people from that bondage and secured for them eternal life, we are concerned about a message that is being communicated today that Jesus did all that and then still at the last day will lose some of those for whom he died. The goal of speaking of a limited or definite atonement is to say, we want to say that Jesus actually accomplished salvation in his death in paying for the sins and will not lose one of those for whom his blood effectually was shed.
That's right. And so what we really can boil it down to is three different views. And this is what England's greatest theologian, John Owen, or at least the greatest theologian of England in the 17th century, what he articulated in a book called The Death of Death in the Death of Jesus Christ, which was a treatise for the doctrine of particular atonement and particularly against the Arminians. But he said it basically comes down to this. It's one of three views. Either Christ died for all the sins of all people, which means that all are going to heaven. There's universalism. The problem with that, of course, is that we know the Bible to teach otherwise. The Bible does teach a doctrine of hell. Okay, so it can't be that. The second view would be that Christ died for some of the sins of all people. And this is essentially the view that Arminians would hold, that, yeah, he paid for all our sins of everybody except the sin of unbelief. You have to believe in order to get the forgiveness of sins. That's the one sin that you have to take care of. That might call a hypothetical universalism. In other words, it's hypothetical that all people could go to heaven since Christ paid for all the sins of everybody in general, but nobody in particular. It just has to happen based on your belief. So again, first view would be either Christ died for all the sins of all people. Secondly, Christ died for some of the sins of all people. Or third, Christ died for all the sins of some people. And this is the doctrine of particular atonement. We understand Jesus to say, he does say, I will lay down my life for the sheep. He prays for those whom the Father gave him in John 17. He says, I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you gave me. It's the night before he goes to the cross. On the cross, he says, it is finished. What is finished? The work that the Father gave him to do, the work on behalf of those whom the Father gave him. And this is how we understand the atonement. Christ paid for all the sins, effectually blotted out all the sins of particular people, those whom the Father gave him. It's not the case that Christ died for all the sins of everybody in general, but nobody in particular. If that's the case, then it would be possible that nobody would come to Christ. Christ would be sitting on the sideline, waiting and hoping that somebody might take the offer. But rather, he came on a definite mission. He was incarnate. He lived the perfect life that you and I have never lived. He came and he went to the cross and he paid for the sins of those whom the Father gave him. This is the view of particular atonement.
And I'm concerned, Mike, about the pastoral implications of this, you know, in the way that we preach, in the way that we teach, of what we're communicating to people. Most Christians would agree with the fact that not everyone is going to heaven. They would agree with the fact that there are people who are going to have to suffer eternally for their sins, who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we look at the atonement, it's not good news to run around saying that Jesus actually accomplished dying on the cross and saying it is finished, and then losing some of those for whom he died. That is bad news. That's not good news. That's not good news of the gospel. So that's the real pastoral concern. But then there's also a concern of just what Jesus accomplished in his person and work. You know, he went through a lot of suffering. He went through, if you read John 19 and you look at what he went through on the cross, the horrors of them dividing his garments, struck in the face, judged in our place, being condemned with criminals, hung on a cross, suffering in body and soul the wrath of God, and then to declare, it's finished. I paid for sins. The Reformers said that if you mess that up and say that that is a universal atonement, you have essentially said that the death of Christ was not sufficient. And it's a dangerous doctrine, because then you have a doctrine of double justice. Exactly. And double justice is a bad thing. We never want to say that Jesus, you know, kind of did his part in suffering, but then God is going to rejudge those for whom he died. I mean, you see the pastoral nightmare such a doctrine would create.
Right, it would make God unjust. I mean, we can't think that God satisfied all the demands of his justice on the cross for everyone, and then also will send some to hell where he's going to continue to have justice satisfied for the same people. That's impossible. Look, everybody, every single person in the whole world and throughout the history of the human race will have his or her sins dealt with. But it's only in one of two places. It can't be both. It was either at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, or it will be in an eternity in hell. Now, I suppose that some people would say, well, where's the good news in that? So it might be for you, or it might not be for you. Well, we have to, again, this is tied up with the doctrine of election. It is God who saves. But the means that he has given us to bring us to salvation is the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the good news. But it's interesting to me, Chris, that when we look at the way that the apostles preached, they didn't say, hey, Jesus loves you, he died for you, and has a wonderful plan for your life. Instead, what they always did was they preached sin, and they preached Christ as the satisfaction for sin, the atonement for sin, and now you need to have faith in Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. They never went around saying, well, Jesus died for you, plain and simple. If that's the case, that he died for all my sins, then everything's good. We're all going to heaven. And this reminds me of a time when I was in seminary many years ago, and I was tired from so much study, and I was walking with my daughters, who were very little at the time, down by the beach, and there were some wonderful young people out seeking to share the gospel with others and bring people to Christ, and they had a big banner, and it said, Jesus died for you. And I came by, as I was walking by with my girls, this young man came up to me and said, hey, do you know Jesus died for you? And I smiled and said, well, that's good news. I guess I'm going to heaven. And he says, well, you know, you still got to believe. And I turned around and said, well, but Jesus died for me. And so if he's died for me, then it's good news. And he didn't know I was a Christian at the time. Maybe I was being a little snarky, but he said, well, you have to believe. And I said, but you just said Jesus died for me. And if he died for all my sins, then that includes the sin of unbelief, right? Why would he send me to hell if he's paid for all my sins? I said, isn't unbelief also a sin? And he agreed, well, yeah, it is a sin, but I know you still have to believe. And I said, well, I understand, but the thing is that the when Christ paid for our sins, it also included the sin of unbelief.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that, because it does affect our evangelism. I think that's what we're trying to say here is how are we communicating the death of Christ to people? You know, it's the same thing that I saw one time when a guy was out on the beach evangelizing, and he went up to a guy, you know, who was an alcoholic, and he says, hey, Jesus died for you, and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. And the guy said, great, can you buy me a six-pack, you know? It doesn't have any thrust. It doesn't have any power. It doesn't have any impact. Instead of warning people to turn from their sins and to realize that if they don't have a Savior, they have no propitiation. They have no covering, and they've got to stand guilty on that day before a holy and a just and a pure God. And so that's why Mike rightly noted that for the Christian, Judgment Day has rightly been pushed back in history to the day of the cross and the, you know, month of Nisan at about the sixth hour of the day. When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant it. He actually accomplished redemption. Well, we'll stop there for today, but we're grateful you've taken the time to tune in to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and we do humbly ask both for your prayerful and your financial support. You can go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.